Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on.
Tennis.
Welcome back to Game On. We're delighted to be joined by Stephen Higgins from CrossCourtView.com. Stephen, the Australia Open well and truly into full swing now. When we were chatting before, there was concerns about the weather. How's that all been?
Well, we've been very lucky in a sense that what Melbourne needed was some rain to come in and wash away the smoke that had enveloped the city. And that's exactly what we got. Of course, the issue with that in terms of tennis is the play is washed out. So on Monday, there was heavy rain from the afternoon on. All the outside courts were cancelled. But the good thing is it cleared up the air quality. And on Tuesday, they had a massive bumper day where they had to make up all the matches. But they're now on schedule and the weather looks pretty good going into the weekend.
But Stephen, you were saying some of the athletes, tennis players, were struggling with breathing. No problem there, no?
Yeah, we haven't heard any issue yet since. There was a player in qualifying, Jakubovic, who had a coughing fit on the court and had to retire. And other players like Bernard Tomic and Jeannie Bouchard were complaining about issues when they're on court. Then there was some, you know, questions about whether Federer and Nadal, with all their status, should be making more of a point of it. But from Monday on, basically, we haven't heard any issues about that.
You think if one of them loses, they'll bring it up?
Well, actually, I think the bigger concern for people like, say, Djokovic and Nadal is the new ATP Cup competition that they played in the first week of January, which was very intense, a team competition, and Serbia and Spain were in the final. And one thing to look for into the second week is whether fatigue will be an issue, particularly for two of them.
So where are we now? Give us the overall picture of who's in, who's out. Any big shocks?
Well, actually, it's strange because usually you'd be coming in and saying, you know, this top 10 player lost and all. But on the women's side, all 10 of the top 10 seeds are there and 9 of the top 10 men. The only one to go out was Matteo Berrettini, who made it to the ATP Finals last year. All the big players look good. Djokovic, Nadal, Federer look very good. Serena's look pretty good. Halep and Pliskova and all, they're all going through. So in some ways, there isn't news necessarily on the big seeding. However, the biggest casualty in name recognition is probably Maria Sharapova, who went out in the first round, which is her third first round loss in a row.
I wonder why that is.
There's a combination of factors with her. Like, I mean, she's approaching 33 now. She's struggling with shoulder issues. She hasn't really returned to any sort of form since her drug ban. And that was
for Meldonium.
Meldonium, yeah. So it was initially a 2-year ban. It was reduced down to, I think, 18 months. But she was asked whether she'd be returning to Melbourne next year, and she wasn't sure. I wonder, given she's been out in the tour so long, and because of her loss now, she's going to drop down to about 360 in the rankings. Will she keep going? Like, why would she bother, in a sense?
So she took the Meldonium and for a heart condition, and then...
It was a medication that was aimed at people older, I think pensioners or so, who had heart problems. She took it. It was stricken off WADA's record, and she kept taking it about a month or two into it. Her and her team claimed they didn't know about it, but there was a lot of controversy about, you know, why she was taking it. And I think something that really hurt her was her attitude when she came back was kind of blaming everyone else about it, as opposed to just taking...
Somebody should have told me that it was on the ban list.
I think that didn't endear her to people generally. And she has a core support of fans, obviously, because she's been such a superstar in the sport for years. But I don't know how much sympathy there was, and it hasn't really grown. And she's really struggled since. She hasn't been kind of half the player that she was before.
Do you think we're going to see the end of her soon?
I would kind of be thinking, I wouldn't be surprised if she quit this year, because for a player who's been world number one and been the top 10 for so long to be struggling around trying to qualify, needing wild cards, that's not a recipe for, you know, enjoyment of the sport.
Tennis must be happy enough, though, that there are new stars coming through. So Coco Gauff being one that is fresh in everyone's mind. And again, she's looks like she could have a big one now against Naomi Osaka.
Yeah, I'd say that's the most exciting match for people to follow that's coming up. In the third round, Coco Gauff will play Naomi Osaka. They played in the US Open last year. It was kind of a blowout win for Osaka. But people might remember it from a lovely moment at the end where Goff was in tears and Osaka consoled her, did the interview with her on court, and it was kind of like a nice sign of camaraderie. Yeah, she's a really exciting talent. I mean, she's still so young and she's getting lots of pressure because she's doing well, but you worry about too much too soon, and she has so much time. Like, you just don't want her to be like, oh, she's Serena Williams or she's whoever, like, immediately.
Stephen,
in your view, has she improved from last year?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that's really exceptional is her maturity. I mean, obviously athleticism's great and, you know, she's really good ground strokes and all, but the way she can keep herself going, like, she went down, lost the first set in the second round, but recovered and kind of figured out her game. The encore coaching isn't allowed at the Grand Slams, so, you know, she has to figure out the situation herself. And the maturity for someone who's 15 going on to 16, I mean, there's players who are 29 who are nowhere near that mature. I mean, you know, just thinking of someone like Fabio Fognini or something, for instance. But I think the maturity allied with the athleticism and the strokes will just shoot her up the rankings.
Serena Williams, is she able to, do you think, get one?
I was watching her today. The serve is still good. It's still getting out of trouble. There might be an issue. She's due to play Osaka if she gets through, and they both get through. And it's just if they get into long extended rallies and all. She is playing probably better than she has since pregnancy, maybe the best she's played since pregnancy. But the thing is, they're all so good. Like, you know, I mean, when she played in those finals against Andreescu and Osaka and Halep, they're all so good now. They're not going to give it to her. They're going to, you know, do everything they can. And when you get into those extended rallies, that's when it really tests out the movement and coming in out of corners and all.
Do you think she's just going to go for one more and then done?
Well, I think she wants the 25, but the 24 is such a kind of...
significant.
Yeah, well, it's such a significant goal, but it's been hanging on her now for ages now, into four Grand Slam finals. If her serve is excellent, that can keep her going and get her through into well into the second week. But the thing is, if she plays against people like Osaka and Halep and all, where they know how to beat her, and their athleticism outstanding, that's the real challenge for her.
She's been frustrated, though. Her error rate is high, isn't it?
Yeah, well, like, say, for instance, in her match there, I was watching, the forehand was an issue. And that's often, like, her backhand has always been her most solid shot, along with the serve. Her forehand is devastating, but it can also go off a bit. The thing that in the four finals that she lost was she started to panic in the first set. She got off to a really bad start and then couldn't recover. And what we'll have to see is if she does get to play Osaka, and Osaka's looking very good, and, you know, she's the defending champion, she's won two majors, she knows how to do it, and she knows how to beat Serena, will she have her A game playing someone like Osaka from the start, you know, getting in all the serves that she needs and rallying consistently and competitively with someone of that quality?
What about the men's? Who are you expecting to meet? Who's on a collision course?
Well, the ones, Federer and Djokovic, are on a collision course in the semis, and the way they've both started, Federer actually had a tricky draw, but loads of seeds have lost, or loads of, like, the seeds lower down have lost, so he actually has a really good run to get there. Djokovic, it's his favourite tournament, and where he's 7-time champion, he looks really good. In the top half, Nadal should get there, but it's tricky. I do think there'll be a break in terms of Daniil Medvedev, who was the US Open finalist and lost to Nadal in 5 sets. I think he'll break through. I would leave out an option for people like Tsitsipas, possibly, and Medvedev. One thing to bear in mind is Nadal is scheduled to meet Kyrgios, and he doesn't like playing Kyrgios, and he's lost him at Wimbledon. He's lost him 3 times.
Why doesn't he like playing him?
Because Kyrgios gives you no rhythm, and obviously his brand of tennis is crazy, because sometimes he doesn't know what he's doing. But what's interesting is he has a psychologist.
Sounds like us, don't again.
Yeah, he throws a racket at you.
Yeah, he has a psychologist. He's very calm, and he has the entire country behind him because of his great efforts for the bushfire relief. And he's not the kind of player you want to play in the third round, particularly someone like Nadal, who is prone to being blown off the court. That's the way he'll lose, is he sometimes plays big hitters and he can't compete.
Yeah, just Stephen, looking at it, Olympic year, and you mentioned fatigue levels, do you think the top players are going to kind of pace themselves a bit more? Like, are everyone like this, Australian Open, are they going for it?
Well, so there is a little bit of a break after Australian Open before you get to the big Master Series in Indian Wells and Miami in March. And then you've got the juggernaut clay court swing, which often, you know, Nadal obviously does so well, but it means it affects the rest of his year. Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, Federer is the king of scheduling properly. It will be interesting to see from, because they started with such an intense first week, will that cause issues then in the Australian Open and then leading into March? With the women's side, they didn't have the ATP Cup, which is a bonus in a sense, so it's kind of more of a standard season for them.
Okay, well, we look forward to the next couple of weeks of discussing everything that is happening in the Australian Open. Stephen Higgins of Cross Court View, thank you very much for joining us. Now, Man United kick off against Burnley at 8:15, but in tonight's other two matches, it's 1-0 to Leicester against West Ham, while it's still scoreless between Spurs and Norwich. And that is all we have time for tonight. Tara Stewart is up next.
Game on.
On 2FM. Weekdays from 6.